Hello, I'm your host, Masao. I'm an indie producer in Montreal and your host for What Else Do You Do? Today, our guest is Laure Guilbeault. Please introduce yourself.
Hi, so my name is Laure. I'm a product manager on Rainbow Six Siege. I've been doing this for 5 years now, and I'm in charge of a few different things. I did a lot of marketing seasons, so marketing in-game content. And I think I'm more recently known for having worked on the Six Invitational 2020.
That is pretty cool. But this podcast is called What Else Do You Do? So what else do you do?
So I'm a big fan of cooking. Actually, anybody who knows me and follows me on Twitter or Instagram sees that I love to cook. It's how I find my peace of mind after a really long work day, actually. I can go on.
you're supposed to go on. That's the point of this podcast.
It's okay, I'll go on. So I find that cooking,
how long do you take in plating typically?
Oh my god, I love to plate. So I know it's a very weird and silly thing to appreciate, but I plate just for myself. Like, I'll be alone in my place making myself dinner, and I'll plate really beautifully. Actually, the plating is not what takes the most time. It's always the cooking process, getting all the ingredients together and getting the food going. But I always found cooking to be very soothing. It's a very soothing activity for me. After you work all day on various different things, like you can work on, you know, on creative things, on project, on planning, on, there's so many things that you're doing. So at the end of the day, I just want to do something that I feel fully in control of. So when I get in the kitchen, I open my fridge and sometimes I have a recipe, sometimes I don't, and I have to improvise. It just gives me this vessel, I guess, or this activity that I feel fully in control of, fully focused, and that's entirely and 100% for me. And it feels really good. It's, you know, it's actually really funny. Whenever I'm cooking, I'm really in the zone. Like, I know that some people try to talk to me and I'm not, I can barely hear them. It's almost like a weird form of meditation for me. I started cooking a really long time ago. My dad is the cook in my family, and I always remember like watching him cook for all of us. And it was such a, he took such joy in doing this. So I think I just picked up from there. And let me tell you, I mean, it's been a process my whole life to actually understand how to improvise, how to cook certain things kind of on the fly, and how to become good at it. I was not very good when I started, but I really do love this activity. I mean, it just provides me such peace of mind.
What do you like to cook?
I cook all sorts of things, actually. I'm a big, lately I've just been making a lot of kimchi rice bowls. It's been one of my favorite things to cook. I don't know why. I kind of started during the pandemic, and it's because I think I always have a lot of rice on my place, and I was just trying to find creative ways to to make it delicious and not just make a plain, really, really boring bowl of rice. So I've been doing all sorts of rice bowls and different recipes. Like, I've been kind of touching upon I'm not pronouncing it right, you're going to kill me, but for furikake rice, which is really, really, really good. So I've been doing a lot of that. I'm a big fan of, actually, lately I've been doing a lot of vegetarian cooking. Because of the pandemic, I've been very aware, I think, of my habits and what I eat and what I put in my body, because I'm not able to go to the gym like I used to do. I'm not as active, and I'm trying to be careful and stay healthy. So I've been cooking a lot of vegetarian dishes. So exploring with tofu, exploring with halloumi. I've been doing a lot of curries, a lot of lentil dishes like soups. So I've been trying all sorts of things, really. It's been a lot of fun. And I think if I'm being like really gluttonous, or if I'm looking at treating myself, I really love to make like homemade mac and cheese. And I mean, don't knock me on this one, but I do think I make one of the best mac and cheese ever. Like, I've made it for a few people, actually a lot of people. If I go to a potluck, that's always what I bring. And it's been, it's a unique recipe. I made it up myself. Like, all the ingredients there are mine, and people seem to really, really love it. So on a rainy day, if I'm feeling like treating myself, a really good mac and cheese is the way to go. That's for me.
What did your father cook?
Oh, you know, my father, it's really funny you asked me this. So my father started out cooking with all sorts of things. He, like, obviously lots of chicken, lots of meats, meats and potatoes kind of guy. And eventually he started exploring more. He loves to cook Italian food. It's his favorite. My father's very gluttonous. And as as we grew up together in the same household, I noticed that he became like lazier and lazier with the way he cooks. Like instead of finding fresher ingredients or trying to cook the healthy way, he kind of falls back on like, you know, heavy butter and bacon and like lots of pasta, like, you know, things that aren't necessarily good for him or good for us. And when I started cooking a bit more, I remember I started challenging him. I'd be like, you know, if when you cook that duck, you should probably render the fat a bit longer before you put it in, you know, before you put it in the oven. So I remember him getting increasingly frustrated with me when I was a teenager and I was trying to challenge him and how he was cooking things.
I can imagine how that would have been incredibly annoying.
Yes. Well, you're a father, so maybe one day you'll get that happening to you too.
Most definitely. My child is quite strong-willed.
But yeah, I was and today, whenever I have my parents over for dinner or for brunch, like I love cooking for them. I find cooking is a form of self-expression for me as well. Like it's how I tell people I love them. Like, you know, I have people over and I make them a meal. Like I feel uncomfortable having people at my place without cooking them something. It almost feels unnatural to me. And maybe it's because like I also come from my grandmother is Egyptian, right? My mom is Egyptian. So coming from a Mediterranean background, you never go to a house or go somewhere or invite people over and you don't have anything prepared. Like you need to, like you feed people and it's a way to gather them around the table and share and kind of discuss. So I think, I love to cook. It's just been, I can't say it enough really. Like it's such a fun activity for me. I don't understand anybody who doesn't enjoy it, honestly.
So what you're saying is we're not really friends because you've never invited me over or cooked for me.
I know. To be fair, I feel bad about that. I think it's just then the pandemic hit and everything was like, we were either working together and you have your life and I have mine. I never had you over. I'm sorry.
We were friends from way before the pandemic
hit. It's true. But then it was just like, I don't know. I always live with either like roommates or other people. Like this is the first time I have a place of my own. So it's
sure. Okay.
It's actually okay. True. It's true. It's true. I swear to God. Like I had either a tiny apartment, and I do mean it, with no kitchen or like practically no space. And this is the first time I live in a place where I can actually have people, and then the pandemic hit. So it's like everything happened, unfortunately. But I swear to God, when this is over, I'll have you over. I'll make you good food. You'll be happy.
Well, I'll believe it when I see it.
I swear to God, I will. Like I'll make you like a delicious like sous vide salmon or something. Like I'll make you something really, really good.
I don't know. Can't you make something Egyptian? That would be more
yes,
exciting.
I could do that. I can make you molokhea. Molokhea is really, okay, yeah. Really delicious. I don't know if I ever told you about that dish, but it's really good. Like anybody that knows this dish is aware. It's very unique. It's like a traditional dish that, and the molokhea itself is actually an herb that goes in the dish and covers it. It's very, very unique in taste. It's delicious.
Strangely enough, Japan had like this moment with molokhea, and I don't know why the Japanese like in the like mid 90s decided that was like something that they needed to eat.
Really? I did not know that. Wow.
It was very strange.
They just decided
all over,
to eat.
Like it was all over the media for like a minute.
Wow. I did not know that. Maybe
like,
they
specifically such a weird choice, but yeah.
Yeah. Cause wow. I would not imagine that in Japan, they would just decide to eat molokhea all of a sudden, but it's really delicious. The herb is delicious. Delicious, and the dish is delicious. So I could definitely make you that, or I can make homemade baklava, which I really like making as well. I love making baklava, so it's just
okay. Okay.
Yeah. I can. I'll treat you. I'll make you something good. I promise. Now I just feel bad.
Which is not the objective of this podcast.
Hopefully,
it's not. Well, no. You're actually the first friend that I have on the podcast. It's everybody else. It was the first time I talked to them. Oh, that's not true.
The guilt trip is real, though. I'm like, shit, it's true. Like, and it's funny because as I said that I have people over for cooking and like I like to make a meal, I realized like, shit, I've never had him over, and I should have known better. I knew I was setting myself up for this one. So,
You know. So our next question is: what do you get out of cooking that you don't get out of game development?
So the work that I do requires me to be creative and to always focus on creative problem solving. Like I always say that a lot of what I do is creative problem solving. After a long day of making a lot of decisions and creative problem solving in many different ways, I turn to cooking because for me, Just like other activities are creative, it's a form of pure creation that belongs to me and to me alone. And that's really what I get out of it. It helps me disconnect, you know, like it's a way for me to not think about work, actually, because I'm doing something for myself. I'm focusing on something else. And it feels really, really good. You know, it's not because I don't love the work that I do. I really do. But after a long day of work, you want to do just something that feels good for you as a person and not for the greater good of a game or a company. And I think that's what I get the most out of it. So that, and also the ability to just focus on something. Like my job is a lot of multitasking, believe it or not. But the multitasking that I find in cooking is something I just control so well. It's just, I know the steps and I just get things done. And I get into this kind of groove and I get into the zone when I'm cooking. That feels really great. So yeah, like that, I think that explains it. That's really what I get out of it. And I could probably find that in other activities, but none of them are quite as satisfying as having a meal ready for you at the end of it. You know, it's instant gratification almost. It feels really good.
So let's do the flip side. What do you think cooking brings to your process and output as a game developer?
So as I said, my job is a lot of multitasking, right? There are steps in making a meal or making, let's say, a three-course dinner or making a dish where it's very methodic, right? That you have to time everything perfectly so that the meal and all the sides are all perfectly warm at the end of the, you know, at the end of your process. And so what I really get from it is almost this weird mental gymnastic or this mental practice that I then apply to my work. I know it sounds very silly, but it makes sense when you get into it. So you know, you'll start the prepping of your meal. While you'll have something in the oven, you'll start boiling water, you'll throw in your starch, you'll keep chopping, you'll throw something on the pan. It's just all these steps, and what I do when I cook, I can apply all of this skill actually to the work I do. People at work always kind of telling me, it's like, oh, you know, you're great at multitasking, you're so organized. And you know, a lot of that is, I think, I'm just very fortunate. I think my mind just works this way. I've got good methodology behind it. And the other is just, I think the cooking helps me practice. Like, it just helps me practice. Like, if someone brings me a problem at work, I'll immediately think of like the 3, 4, 5 steps I need to do to solve it. It's, you know, so I think the ability to do that and to plan more than one step at a time is really a gift to the work that I do. So that's really what it brings me.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think I like to cook as well. And I think as a producer, you're really thinking about, a lot of times you're thinking about things in a timeline. So you think in the same way that, because the game has to be done at the same time. So you think about like, okay, so what is the longest portion of this equation? Mm-hmm. And what are the dependencies of that longest portion?
Exactly. No, you get
so,
it.
Yeah, I think there is definitely a parallels to cooking and project management.
Yes. Like I feel that. And it's something I didn't realize would help me when I started. You know, when I started like cooking for this, I just thought, oh, it's just I have to nourish myself. Like, that's how it started. I have to nourish myself, or, oh, like I want to do the things that my father does. Like I didn't put much thought into it. And as I got better and as I improved that skill and started multitasking, and I was like, oh my God, like there's a lot in the thought process and in those skills that I can apply to my life, like to the work that I do. It's a skill. So it's, yeah, like I think anybody who reaches a certain level of ease in the kitchen and knows how to multitask and do multiple things at once can understand this. I really think so. It takes time and practice, but it really pays off, I find.
What is something you'd like to say to people who don't cook but would like to?
Well, I think the first thing that you need to know is just you have to start somewhere. It starts in really small places. Like, that sounds really silly, but how about you start by mastering how to cook eggs in many different ways? Like, it sounds silly, but, you know, you start with sunny side up, then over easy, then make a perfect scramble, and then if you're feeling a little brave, you can poach it. You know, so you start with little tiny things.
Well, you say that, actually, but it's It's the traditionally, if you work in a restaurant in Japan, the first thing that they, the first thing that you have to be able to do for you to be considered a real cook is to be able to make a good omelet.
You know, I'm not surprised. Like an omelet is so versatile and delicious. Like I can totally picture that. And it's true. Even making an omelet is not always easy. Okay. Like it's a process.
It's actually pretty difficult to make a good omelet because you have to have, good heat control, and you have to understand timing. You have to understand how, you know, the material you're working with works.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll add to that good cookware. Like, I mean, it sounds really silly, but when you have shitty cookware, it's really difficult to make good food in the right way. That's something they don't really... I found that out the hard way when I had my first apartment with my shitty, like my disgustingly inefficient cookware that I didn't realize that investing in cookware was so important. So, I mean, for those who want to start cooking, little baby steps first, I guess. So, yeah, try to learn some basics. Get yourself some good cookware. Like, invest in this stuff. It's actually worth it. It's easier. You can cook an omelet without it sticking to your pan. You can cook meat evenly. You even have those wonderful, wonderful tools now that you can take a frying pan and stick it straight into the oven. You know, it's you know, so having the right gear is really important. And it's funny because actually for gamers, let's say, like even if I say I were to talk to a community of gamers, you wouldn't play, or very little people would play a PC game on shitty conditions, right? You would want to have like, oh, like I want a good mouse, I want a good keyboard, I want a good monitor, I need a PC that has a, you know, that's well optimized. Like people care about this stuff. It's the kind of the same in a kitchen. Like you want to have the good tools. You want a knife that cuts really well that you don't have to sharpen all the time. You want a good frying pan. You want just, you know, as much as possible. So that stuff matters.
I agree. Although, yeah. So my whole thing about all of that is that basically you don't want to get the cheapest shit. Like,
no, please
super
don't.
Cheap stuff is awful. But if you spend a little bit more,
yes, just a little,
you get something pretty decent. And a lot of times, like, pro tip on this is go to a kitchen supply shop, because you're going to actually be able to get professional quality cookware, and they're not super expensive because they're industrial.
It's true. And I mean, I will never forget the feeling of getting a really good chef's knife the first time in my life and cutting through a potato like it was butter. Okay, like I was shocked. I was like, I can't believe I've been chopping potatoes wrong my whole life. And that's like the coolest feeling. It's really, I don't know. I guess it's life's simple pleasures. I think the other thing, if you're starting, so I started cooking really basic stuff and I wanted to expand, right? I wanted to learn how to make new recipes, but I didn't necessarily have the knowledge. Like I didn't know where to start. I actually discovered this really amazing, and I think it's still available online, it's like a free minimalist cookbook. And it's actually like a PDF. You can download it. And it's 100% free. And it's like all the recipes are like 4 to 5 ingredients. And I'm not joking. And the recipe is like super basic, like really, really basic. But I started doing that because it wasn't imposing. Like it wasn't complicated. But it gave me opportunity to just try out a few new things and just try out a few new flavors. Like it was really, really basic stuff, but it really helped me at the very least, because I think that's also something that's very imposing. Like you start in the kitchen and you look at a recipe and it is sometimes some of them are just complicated, poorly written, really complex to follow. And you're sitting here like, okay, I have this step and then that step and I have to do this thing next. It just becomes overwhelming. So I kind of explored that a little bit. And I think the other thing that really helped me, at least, I discovered this fun little cookbook that I think it's actually, it no longer exists. I still have my copy here. It was my favorite thing. It was called the Illustrated Student Cookbook. And that was a gift that was given to me by my very best friend in this world. And it's the entire book is beautiful, first of all. All the recipes are drawn as a comic book, which it spoke to me. I'm a huge nerd, so it really spoke to me. So the recipes are super easy to follow. And what that book taught me is like the basic things you need to have in a pantry at any given moment to basically make anything. Like, you know, here are some basic ingredients you just always want to have in your fridge just to make a wide variety of things, like even if it's simple ingredients. So like some of the things in there were like, you should always have eggs, because you should always have like, that's always good. Try to have bacon, actually, one of the things that they recommended, because there's a lot of stuff you can do with bacon. Like, it's so versatile of an ingredient. Different little tiny things, like they suggested to always have lemons, which I think is also a pretty good one. Lemons was a really, and they had a lot of recipes that made use of that in the book, which makes a lot of sense. But they had a few ingredients in there that made a lot of sense. And then from there, I just learned how to build, how to actually like grow a pantry too. Like, you know, if you have nothing in your fridge, you have nothing anywhere, you can't really cook anything. So yeah, like, I don't know. Cooking is fun, man. Cooking is a lot of fun. It's great to be able to sit around a table and feed people something that you made yourself. There's a sense of satisfaction and pride that comes with that. And I really wish everybody would want to take the time to do this. It's such a wonderful thing. Like, I still remember when I was first able to feed my own parents a home-cooked meal. And, I mean, they were really delighted. And for me, it was just such a moment of pride that the roles were reversed for once. Like, you know, it's not them feeding me, it's me giving them something back. And it felt so, so, so good. So, I mean, even if it's, you know, for those reasons, but also just to be healthy, like, it's good to know what goes into your body. Like, it's good to know what you're eating. That's one thing I'll say. Like, when you order food and when you go to restaurants, when you do also, you think you have an idea, but you don't really know. There's, for me, a really cool sense of almost safety. Like, I know exactly what's going in my food and what I'm putting in my body. And for anybody that's on a diet, let's say, or anybody that cares about their health, like, it's just an added bonus too. Like, I think it's great. So
yeah, it's definitely easier to eat healthy if you cook yourself, for sure.
100%. Yeah. And I know a lot of people on diets, and it's really, really hard to do that. And I think that's why, you know, people order a lot of food, you know, they order takeout. They don't take the time. People think it's time consuming. And let me tell you, like, I've been able to cook things in less time than it takes to go on Uber Eats, find food, and have it delivered.
Like, it takes so long. Delivery takes so long.
I know. It's like, you can order something and then it's like, oh, okay, they're prepping the food. It can take an hour. It's
cold.
Yes, it can take up to an hour. It's actually ridiculous. So I've been able to cook myself a delicious meal in 20 minutes, and it's like, it's done. It's on my table. It's there. I'm full, you know. So I mean, there's so many benefits to making a meal for yourself. So I would encourage anybody to just try it, and hopefully when the pandemic is over, try it with friends. That's something I'm looking forward to. I've been talking to a lot of my good friends about making dumplings together. Like, I love to make dumplings. It's one of those fun activities you can do as a group. That's awesome. So I'm looking forward to maybe one day being able to meet up with them again and do this. Like, it brings people together, right? So it's a lot of fun.
Well, I think we're good. I think we have it. So Thank you very much for being my guest. And yeah. See you at some point
in the near future. Thank you for having me. It's been a lot of fun. And hey, maybe if I can convince one person to try to cook themselves a meal tonight, I'll be happy.
Thank you very much, and have a good night.
Thank you for listening. Thank you to Dave Wallace for providing the music at the top of the show. And thank you to Therese Lance for creating the logo. Bye.